Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. This is God's holy word. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Amen. At our church, we've been going through a sermon mini-series through key women of the Bible. And we have made our way up into the New Testament, and the last few weeks particularly looking at several women right around the time or during the time of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. Last week, you might recall, we looked at that unnamed woman in Luke chapter 7 who anointed Jesus' feet with oil. Jesus said that that woman had showed him such great love because she had been forgiven of so much. And a main point from last week's message was that we should love Jesus because he's forgiven us of our sins, and that that love should be expressed in tangible ways. It's not a love that we just keep hidden. It's not a love that we just keep up in our minds, but that we look to show that love in practical ways. That woman in Luke 7 definitely showed her love in a practical, tangible way. We also looked last week at the passage right after that anointing, where we saw a number of women who had been healed of various sicknesses and demons, and they too expressed their gratitude in tangible ways. We saw that they provided out of their own substance for Jesus' ministry as he went around preaching from town and city. And so, last week we got this wonderful chance to see how to express love and gratitude in very tangible, practical ways. Well, our passage in today brings us to the lives of Mary and Martha. And it's a fitting follow-up to last week's passage. Because last week, as we saw the importance of expressing love and gratitude, even in tangible ways, this passage teaches us there's an important principle that has to guide that expression. And we're going to get a chance to think about this principle that governs and guides how we express our love and gratitude toward Christ. Let's dig in then and begin with some brief background to Mary and Martha. We learn about these two women here and also in John 11 and 12. Now, in John's account, we also learn that they have a brother named Lazarus. You may have been used to hearing about them with all three together, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Well, we don't know if Lazarus was at this meal in today's passage. Maybe he was, and it's just not mentioned. Maybe he was out of town. We don't know. But according to John's gospel, we learn that they lived in the town of Bethany. That was about 1.5 miles outside of Jerusalem. John's account, we also see that Mary was someone who also anointed Jesus with oil. That's something that she did after Jesus raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. She anointed Jesus there, surely as a way to express thanksgiving, but Jesus also interprets it as in preparation for his burial. That would have likely happened then. All of that in John's account chronologically likely would have happened after our passage for today. What's also noteworthy in John's account about Mary and Martha is that they both really are expressing in John's account some wonderful confession of Jesus and even some good theology. I point this out today because as we look at the passage here in Luke, it would be very easy to see how Mary's painted so positively and Martha's painted in such a critical light and forget that this was just one incident in their lives. Mary and Martha, both, we see in John's Gospel, express very clearly they know who Jesus is. They put their trust in Jesus. And so they were both faithful followers and surely friends of Jesus. And that reminds us then that when we look here in this passage, what's so wonderful about it is that this is all a part of how Jesus is discipling them. Not just for Mary, who's sitting listening to Jesus at his feet, but even for Martha. How Jesus corrects Martha. This is part of his discipleship in her life. And based on John's account, we can see that she's grown through this all. Let's then begin by seeing Martha's role in this passage. Verse 38 begins by telling us that Jesus was traveling, and during his travels, Martha welcomes him into her home. It's a very commendable thing, of course. We mentioned it in last week's passage, those women who were providing for Jesus in the midst of his itinerant preaching. If you're a preacher like Jesus, traveling around from one town to one city to another, you're going to rely on hospitality and support from others to be able to go and preach from one city to the next. You're going to rely on people like Martha, willing to open up their homes, show hospitality. Hospitality in the Bible is clearly presented as a godly act of service. Martha is to be commended in that regard in showing hospitality. It is a godly act of Christian service. But there was a problem with Martha's service. It's what we see in verse 40. She was distracted in this service. Why? Because she was doing much service. Too much service, in other words. Verse 41, Jesus points out her concern for many things. And so she had this noble idea to serve Jesus, probably his disciples as well along with her, though we're not told for sure. It's this good thing to show hospitality, but she had planned so much in the service that she became distracted by it all. The idea of being distracted here, in the Greek particularly, is the idea of being drawn away from the right focus. Instead of having the right focus, she was drawn away to other things, these many things. She's preoccupied by the many details of her service, so she missed what her time with Jesus was supposed to be all about. About time with Jesus. Well, not only was she distracted, but notice as well what verse 41 says about her. Two other aspects about what's going on inside her at this time. Verse 41 describes her as worried and troubled. About her worry. In other words, she's full of anxiety. All her plans about this wonderful meal has surely left her stressed out. She seems greatly concerned about all the details of the event. You know, the Bible speaks against worry in general. We're not to be people who are worrying and anxious. Think about Jesus. He said that people worry so much about tomorrow when the current day has enough troubles of its own. But Martha, it seems, had unnecessarily imposed extra troubles upon herself. She is worried about the things of today, but it seems she's brought on more than she needed to be concerned about. In other words, she has planned a far more extensive service to Jesus than was needed in terms of hospitality. Now, we could speculate on Martha's motivation for this. Why did she provide or plan for such an elaborate service to Jesus here? What was her motivation? Was it a real heartfelt desire to do something nice for Jesus? Was it instead maybe a pride thing? Look at how great of a host I am. We don't know. We should be careful on speculating. It may have been good intentions. It may have been some aspect of pride. It may have been something else. But keeping to the text, what we are told is that she allowed herself to be anxious about all of this, and that was because she put too many things on her plate. But Jesus also calls her troubled here, not just worried, but also troubled. This Greek word is the sense of being upset. She's upset. She's upset in general, but she's also shown as being upset here at particularly two people. She's upset with her sister, Mary, who doesn't join with her the way that Martha wants in terms of helping her in the service. That's verse 40. Clearly, she's speaking negatively about her sister here. But verse 40 also shows that she's upset a bit at Jesus. She essentially is accusing Jesus for not ordering Mary to help her. She then essentially commands Jesus to tell Mary to go help her. So this is the picture we see here of Martha in this passage. She begins with a commendable desire to show hospitality to Jesus. For whatever underlying reason, though, she sets out to do too much. The result is she becomes distracted, anxious, and upset. In contrast is her sister Mary. Let's spend then a few moments looking at what Mary's doing. Jesus refers to what Mary's doing is Mary's choice, and Jesus commends that choice. Let's look at what she chose to do. Verse 39, she's sitting at Jesus' feet. Of course, when she's sitting there, it's to hear Jesus, to hear his word. By the way, what she's doing in this passage is not something that we should take for granted. We might take it for granted here at 2013. But back then, to sit at the feet of a teacher meant you were serving as a disciple, that you were a disciple of that teacher. And at that time, it was not a normal practice for a rabbi or a teacher like this to have official women disciples. And that's the place she's put herself in. But obviously, Jesus has no problem with women disciples. And so that's what Mary's doing here. She's acting as a disciple. She's listening to the words of Christ. She's learning from him. She has chosen what Jesus says is this good part. And it won't be taken from her. As we think about that phrase, the good part, surely it's something more than just listening to Jesus instead of helping out in the kitchen. Surely it's something even more fundamental than that. Because in general, you have two good things here. It is a good, godly thing to show hospitality. And it is especially a good thing to learn from a teacher, particularly when that teacher is the Christ, the promised Messiah. That's obviously especially a good thing to be doing. But likely the good part referenced here is more than just the simple act of listening to Jesus. Rather, it's about putting Jesus front and center. It's about putting Jesus as the focus. It's not simply about prioritizing one better thing over another good thing. It's about prioritizing Jesus. It's about Jesus being the focus. It's about whether you serve or whether you learn or whatever you do, Jesus is center stage. See, that's what verse 42 tells us when Jesus says to Mary, or tells Mary, one thing is needed, or Martha, one thing is needed. That's in contrast to the many other things, right? There was a contrast here between the one thing versus the many things. And the many things are described as distracting Martha. The many things distracting her from the one thing. From Jesus. From what it's really all about. We've said it, hospitality is not wrong. Her many things of hospitality, though, distracted her from the one thing it was really supposed to be all about. Her hospitality was supposed to be about Jesus. Evidently, it wasn't. Now, yes, I do acknowledge that there is a sense of priorities here as well. There's certainly that application in this passage. Martha had put elaborate hospitality over the simple primacy, the simple priority of hearing Jesus. Surely there is an application of priority in that, of whether we do hospitality or anything, if we make it so elaborate, so extravagant, that it consumes all of our time and energy, and we're not able to focus on that simple thing of learning from Jesus, then surely our priorities are wrong. If we've missed the simple time of communion with Christ because of all our many other good things, then surely we've put our priorities in the wrong place. Along the line of that thinking, some have interpreted the one thing here not as the one thing being Christ, but as in the one thing being you only need one dish, Martha. Many dishes aren't needed, just one dish. I don't think that's the best read here. It seems that the one thing is ultimately Jesus. Jesus is what we really need. Jesus front and center. Jesus all in all. If you have Jesus, then you have everything. He's got to be our focus. Maybe another way to think about this is theologians tend to identify three criteria about how something done is a good deed. Three things to make up a deed so it really is a good deed. First, the theologian will say that a good deed needs to be done according to the right standard. What's the standard? God's word. The second criteria, a good deed has to be done with the right conviction. You really believe this is a good thing. Hopefully that goes without saying, but you need to really believe it's something you should be doing for God. And then third, that it needs to be with the right goal. The goal to glorify God. The goal to magnify Him, serve Him, put Him first. That's really what we're talking about here in this passage. That whatever we do, it's for God's service, for God's glory, to exalt Him. And how do we know God? It's through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to put God first, we need to put Christ first. We need to do it for Him, for His glory. It needs to be about Him, not about anything else. Exalting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I suspect Martha did not start off her day planning to make her welcome to Jesus about something other than Jesus. I suspect she intended it to be for Jesus and about Jesus. But somewhere in the course of her service, she apparently got distracted. She got off focus, distracted by those many things of good service. Pulled away from that. Pulled away from that one good thing, which is what it was all about, suddenly made her service not so good. That left her inwardly fuming, stressed out. Outwardly, she turns against Jesus and against her sister. Well, we thank the Lord that Jesus did not stay silent. Jesus intervened in the life of Martha. He so lovingly confronted her here. He confronted her distraction. He confronted her anxiety. He confronted her unjustified anger. I love how he speaks to her twice in a row. Martha, Martha. Just hear the love coming out in that. So warm. Such a shepherd. He speaks his word to her. And she hears it. Realize now she's doing what Mary was doing. Now she's hearing from the Lord. Now she's receiving his word. And she is blessed. That's what she needed all along. Christ. It's not so much about her service to Christ. That's not what she really needed. She needed Christ's service to her. And he did. Brothers and sisters, this is the only thing we truly need as well.
Jesus,
our Lord, our Savior. Think about that in all the aspects of our salvation. Think about it in our justification. That's what we need. Jesus. We put our faith in Jesus that He sets us right with God. That it was His righteousness accounted to us. It's about Him. It's true in our sanctification. If we think we're saved by grace but then grow by works, then we're missing the point there too. We're saved by grace, we're justified by grace through faith, but God still is graciously working. That's why it's called fruit of the Spirit. God's growing us. It's Christ's Spirit shaping us to do what? To be more like the image of Christ. Again, it's about Christ. And in that day of glory, when we finally enter into glory, when He comes back, the Scriptures say we will see Him face to face and we will be like Him. Again, it's about Christ. To God be the glory in Christ. Christ is what it's all about. He's the one thing. He needs to be our focus. As we live throughout the week, and that's what we try to do here on the Lord's Day when we gather. It's the Lord's Day, right? We are here to proclaim the Lord. He's what we need in all that we think and do and hear. And so, Christians, I bring you the encouraging word of the Lord today. Surely each of us can reflect on our lives. As followers of Christ, we realize we have fallen prey to this sort of thing far too often. We can fall into this distraction. We can set out to serve the Lord, have great intentions, and then lose focus. But the encouraging word of the Lord today is that same admonition He brought to Martha. Martha, Martha. Our same loving Lord calls out to you to remind you again today what it's all about. To see the one thing that's needed. We said at the beginning we need this guiding principle as we try to express our love and gratitude to Christ for how He's forgiven us and how He works in our life. This is that guiding principle, that it's about Jesus, that He stays as the focus in whatever we do in expressing love and gratitude to Him. Jesus loves us so much that He has given us this Scripture to remind us of this, to make sure where needed we reset our focus, that we see Him as our all in all. Jesus reminds us again today of this foundational principle, that you would know how to love Him more and more in the best way. Jesus lovingly shepherds Martha in this passage, and He's lovingly shepherding us today through this same passage. And you have to love how we see Martha growing. I love what we see later on in John chapter 11. Shortly before Jesus would go to the cross, Mary and Martha's brother dies. Jesus eventually comes to Mary and Martha to see them, and of course He's going to raise Lazarus, but they don't know that yet. And when Jesus is coming to the town, what does Martha do? Talks about her having a house full of guests. What does she do? She leaves and runs out to meet Jesus. It even mentions how Mary's still back in the house. But Martha ran out to meet Him. That's John 11:20. As soon as she heard Jesus was coming, she goes out and there's a wonderful dialogue between them of where she affirms her faith in Christ. She says there, "Lord, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." What a wonderful growth in Martha that we see there. There, Martha had the right focus. At the same time, it doesn't mean you can't express your love to Jesus in tangible ways. Yes, he needs to remain the focus. But I think of Mary here. Just after that passage you mentioned in John 11 is John 12. What does Mary do there? I had mentioned it. She came and anointed Jesus' feet with oil. A very tangible expression of her love. Jesus commends her act. And in commending her act, Jesus says that she kept that expensive oil for his burial. Commentators often try to pick apart that point. How could Mary have known about Jesus' burial? We never see any record in the scriptures of Jesus teaching Mary about his death and resurrection. You know, how would Mary know that? Well, we don't have that explicit record. But we at least for sure have the passage today where Mary sat at Jesus' feet as his disciple and listened and learned. And I have no doubt that Mary could have known all that she needed to know about Jesus, even his death and resurrection, just as much as any of his disciples, if not more. This is the picture we have of her, a student of Christ, hungry to learn. But someone who can also show love to Jesus in a tangible way, like anointing him with oil. I hope you see the point then. Martha in our passage missed the one good thing by being too caught up with the physical act of hospitality. But physical ways of serving are not wrong in themselves. They are godly acts in themselves. But the focus has to remain on Jesus. Mary shows that in John 12, you can show love in tangible ways and still have it be about Jesus. And Martha shows in John 11 that she had come to learn that same thing, that the focus needs to be on Jesus. He's what we really need. And so again, saints, this is the encouragement that comes to us in our passage for today. We've come to love Jesus. We've come to realize that he's saved us, that he's forgiven us of our sins, that he's working various ways of healing in our hearts even now as he grows us. But our Christ-centered living can still run the risk of losing the right focus at time to time. So be encouraged as he is that shepherd guiding you on that way, guiding you on that path. That's what this passage is about for us today, his guiding of us. So let's take that to heart then. That by his grace we would grow in this way. You know, the reality is we live in so many ways in a Martha world. A fast-paced, go-go-go society. It's too easy to fall prey to too many distractions, too many anxieties. The world pressures us to do more and more and more. To accomplish, to be productive, to rise to a certain stature and appearance. Add in that the world's pressures, our own temptations of pride or materialism or various sorts of desires of the flesh. We can see how too easy it is to fall into this Martha mentality. Too easy to serve God in ways that otherwise are good, but become bad when we put the wrong focus into them. When we make them about something else. And like Martha, that has ramifications for us. It had ramifications for her internally. It had ramifications externally with others around her. It had ramifications with her and her Lord. She was inwardly troubled and worried and distracted. She blamed her sister and she blamed Christ. We can fall into those same sorts of traps. So let's look by the grace of God to apply Christian wisdom then in our service. Use a passage for today to inform us in that sort of Christian wisdom. There are certainly in this passage some common pitfalls we can find. Some common things to consider in our service. I'll mention a few of them here. One is to take on too much. Martha took on too much. Have wisdom to set limits. In the case of hospitality, we all know if you're going to have, say, Christians over to your home, they're going to need maybe to eat if that's appropriate. There are going to be some of those practical, tangible needs. But there is a way to show it without losing the right focus. But if you take on too much, is all the more inclined to that end. A second practical thing to keep in mind is to be sure that our serving Jesus doesn't become too overly focused on what other people are or are not doing. Surely that was Martha here. Martha got further off focus by being more concerned about what Mary wasn't doing, what she thought Mary should be doing. But see how easy that is for us then to lose the right focus. A third practical matter here of where we could lose the right focus is that we do all these many good things, but never set aside time for the equivalent of what Mary was doing here, sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing from him in his word. In other words, setting aside that time for communion with the Lord in his word and in prayer. And that, of course, can happen at church, yes, especially at church, but also at home, in private times of devotion and in family times of devotion. That is so important for our growth. But be careful. That Martha inside us all would easily make that into just another thing to do. Another thing to check off the list. Make and eat breakfast, check. Do laundry, check. Do quiet times with the Lord, check. Etc., etc. Beware that it's not just another item to cross off, but to see that it's what it's all about. Whether you're studying your word or doing your laundry, it's still ultimately all for the Lord. We thank the Lord for this passage that reminds us again that he is to be our all in all. He is to be our focus. We serve him in all that we do, and especially see the value of listening to him, his word, to see how it grows us. Praise be to God for when we will be able to be there in person with him. We look forward to the day of Christ's return. Amen. Let's pray.